It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimeras Comics. And now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Thank you, Caffeinated Comics. I'm your host, John Clark, with me as 85% always.
I like that we've percentagized my participation.
I think so. I think like every 2 months I do a Skype cast and you're not here. So I think it's like at 85%.
But this week, Stephen Brown is here.
Yes. And Elliot Toronto is back.
Woo, Elliot.
Hello.
We told Elliot to lean in and he took that very, very seriously.
I just want to be closer to, you know.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, you get really sweet pictures that way.
That'll be the picture.
I think I'm never going to fix this. This was, I know we complained about it a couple of shows. This is because of Yosemite. When I upgraded the Mac to Yosemite, for some reason it won't read the third and fourth microphone. So I'm at one end of the room, and Steven's with the guests, like, just cuddled up all snuggly.
Yeah, it's a good thing we don't have any asshole strangers on this podcast, because then that's going to be fucking weird. You know, yeah. Everyone we have, I like.
I think the week we get somebody in for the first time is the week I buy a new hub.
Right.
Because we have the mics. But this week, there's a news story which has been building the last couple of weeks, but I think it really exploded now, is the Sony hacks of the interview, which ended up this week with Sony completely pulling the interview.
Yeah, out of theaters.
Yeah, and this...
How did this... let's track this from the beginning. Where did this start? So the leak or the hack came, what, 3 weeks ago? Somebody hacked?
Actually, the leak was over almost... I want to say almost 2 months ago.
What?
That the hack actually occurred, but you weren't really hearing about it because the hackers weren't really releasing any information.
Okay.
So you had these hackers claiming that they had all this information on Sony... And no one really believed them. Everyone's saying, oh, they're doing this or that. And then all this sensitive information started coming out.
Yeah, people's health insurance, social security numbers. Yeah.
Home addresses, yeah. All that kind of stuff.
That's crazy.
And then nobody took that seriously because all the fun news came out. Was like, people think Adam Sandler's an asshole and Angelina Jolie's a pain in the ass. And then we got very, very distracted about all the Spider-Man news, which was supposed to be top secret.
Yeah, they got the Marvel emails they sent back and forth. I guess Kevin Feige read the script for Amazing Spider-Man 2 and burned it or something. Like, these guys were just like...
Yeah, Alan Fine, I read that this morning. Alan Fine said he wanted to burn it.
Oh, Alan Fine.
He was like, and the email was mostly like, why are you doing this again? The Sam Raimi movies made money for you. Why are you doing things that contradict them?
Yeah.
Like, just make more movies. And he's like, and at the end, there was just a paragraph that said, three villains, give me a break.
That's awesome.
Because that worked totally well. And, you know, God, what movie was that where they had the three villains?
Batman and Robin.
Right, yeah. So.
And Spider-Man 3 had three villains.
Was it three? It was Sandman and Venom.
And Harry became Green Goblin.
For two seconds.
Oh, that's right. Then the Green Goblin. There you go. There you go. So then the information starts coming out, and the quote unquote legit news organizations are jumping all over it,
right,
and disseminating the information like mad, which is, to me, I think one of the biggest, when you consider that today's media corps are just other corporations, the fact that they would do that is like the biggest hypocritical action you could ever see. Oh, yeah. And they're going, you just wait until, you know, someone hacks Fox News and starts like leaking all that stuff and seeing them talking about journalistic integrity and so on. So what's the next thing that occurs? Now these hackers, which
the Guardians of Peace.
The Guardians of Peace,
which is something Nixon said.
Nixon said about
Korea.
About South Korea.
Yeah.
Okay. And these guys are North Korean?
Well, see, that's the thing too. There's this whole bit now where the FBI has finally they've finally said, yes, we think the hacks are from North Korea. And yet there are folks on Anonymous who are saying, no way is it North Korea. I'm going to tell you what I think it is. I'm pretty sure they are North Koreans, but it's not the North Korean government. It's like a bunch of guys like in the North Korean 4chan or whatever, and they're just hacking away. They're
it's
like
just North Korean internet trolls.
Internet trolls, and they're like, you know, they're like the. I said on Twitter a while back, I wish the Gamergate trolls and the North Korean trolls would like turn on each other and exterminate each other.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they're
they both hate women.
Yes. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
And then, but then I think it's just a bunch of these kind of trollish hackers in North Korea who now see that they've got the one of the largest media corps on the planet basically jumping through hoops for them.
Yeah.
Now they got them by the balls.
Oh, completely.
And then Sony, it's just like, this is a company that, you know, destroyed the Spider-Man franchise, like huge bombs. They kind of are publicly embarrassed themselves over the whole Spider-Man, what they're doing with something that made them billions of dollars only 10 years ago.
That they don't want to give back to Marvel because they see the billions of dollars they could still make with it.
And know that probably Marvel would make that too. But now this comes out, it's like, how damaged is Sony now as like a studio? Like, this is kind of crazy, isn't it? Like,
yeah, well, the big problem, and all the articles I've been reading this week, is the fact that they agreed to cancel the interview completely.
That's what I'm saying. Even, like, the president was like, that was a mistake, guys.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, you shouldn't have listened to the joke country. You know, it's just like, what are they going to bomb us with?
And
old dryers and microwaves? Yeah. Like, what are they going to do? Terrorist attacks from North Korea, the country that fucking, you know, doesn't even have a space program.
Yeah, well, and the thing that I loved was, I think it was this morning or yesterday morning, when they pulled it, they responded exactly the way a bully responds when you back down. Because, you know, like many people in this room, I was not the popular kid.
Right.
You know, I was the smallest kid in class and wanted just to be left alone. And when a bully's annoying you and annoying you and annoying you, you're like, with the, like, give me lunch money, give me lunch money, give me lunch money. Like, yeah, fine, take it. And immediately what happened was they came back the next day. They were like, we want every billboard of the interview taken down. We want every mention of it. We don't want a trailer online. Because they know Sony's kowtowing to them.
Yeah.
Well, and that's when, at that point I went, okay, these are trolls. These are nerds who have no concept of reality. Because when you basically kind of get what you want, when you start pushing that much further, it says, okay, you pretty much forgot.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That.
Now at this point, yeah, they're bullying just
bullying.
Like, yeah, your goal wasn't.
Thing was to get rid of that movie. Done. Right. Now they're like, terrorist.
Well, what else can we
destroy
get?
Destroy it. Yeah. Like, you know, it's just like.
That happens every time I do a master cleanse. Of like, I don't eat for a week and I'm like, I lost 10 pounds. How much more can I lose?
Right.
And as you've known, as you've seen me in that condition, I shouldn't be making any more decisions.
No. Mission accomplished.
I haven't eaten in 6 days. I'm like, I could weigh 125 pounds.
The thing that gets, and I'm just going to flip over just to play the advocate for the moment. I mean, a reality that I think some folks do forget, though, is that Sony is a Japanese corporation.
Right.
And Japan and Korea, well, mind you, Korea can't launch missiles towards Japan, but there are tense diplomatic relations between North Korea and Japan. And that this was something that, as far as Sony Japan goes, they had to deal with a bit of animosity and tension that came from that. So you could see where they would take things a little more seriously than we do in America.
Yeah,
we
I never, ever considered it because I think Sony's like an American corporation. I don't
Remember, it's the same Sony that's making the PlayStation and every Blu-ray player I have in my house.
Right.
You know, it's all of Sony. The other thing that I think where I think it was a hard decision for Sony to make was when they said they were going to start bombing movie theaters.
Yeah.
The first thing I thought of was Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, that Dark Knight guy.
And that's when it got serious of like, and that's when the theater chains pulled out. And once the theater chains pulled out, then they had a product which they could no longer sell.
Yeah, because they said, what, it was the big three theater chains dropped it so they wouldn't carry
it. Was like AMC,
and
Lowe's.
You know, I can understand the theater's point of view because they're hurting already for money. No one's going to see movies as much as they were, you know, 10 years ago or whatever. But then also, it's like they had that Dark Knight scare a couple years ago, and it's just like that hurt the theater.
And also,
movie going,
they have to be thinking, all right, who's going to get the idea to do the same thing and sneak into a movie theater, not affiliated with North Korea,
right,
but just take advantage of the situation. And that lasts, because I remember when we all went to see Dark Knight Rises at midnight, I was sitting with one of the kids at the store, and when the lights went down, he turned to me and went, "We gonna be all right?" And I was like, yeah, it's playing in thousands of theaters. We're going to be fine.
Yeah.
But then I started thinking about it. And, you know, to have this movie, which I would say was not going to be the big blockbuster of Christmas. Like, most people were kind of looking at it dubiously.
Yeah, I think most people, it would have kind of flown under the radar. It would have been like Anchorman 2 or something. You know, it wouldn't have done huge numbers, nothing to really concern about, but then they go and make a stink about it. If they release that movie now, I think that movie would go nuts. Because now everyone, you're going to get all those people around behind, America, fuck yeah, we're going to watch right. this movie. Like, you're going to get all that kind of backlash, I guess.
And to address the whole thing about the movie theaters and their concerns, okay? Can I call bullshit on that? Because if the North Korean government says, guess what? We don't want you releasing episode 7.
Right.
Yeah.
How many people are going to go, oh, no, I'm going to stay home. I'm afraid of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That you know, that is just bullshit.
And here's the other thing where I think that started to fall down on Sony. Because that day I was like, okay, I can kind of see it. But the next day when Sony said, we're not releasing this on demand. We're not giving this to Netflix. Yeah. We're not putting out DVDs of this.
They're just going to bury it.
Yeah, because it's one thing where you're showing it in a public place.
Yeah.
Where you can bomb that place.
Right.
You know,
right.
And people are going to be hurt. But, like, they can't bomb everybody's home because Comcast is running it on demand.
That's actually, I think, what I was thinking they should have done as soon as this happened. And they were like, oh, we'll pull it from theaters, but we're going to release it for free on iTunes like Bono did the DVD.
Oh, because that worked out so well for him.
Well, no, I wouldn't do it the same way where you just get it, but it's just like you click on it and it's like a free download. Yeah.
I've got Seth Rogen on my iPhone. I didn't ask for Seth Rogen on my iPhone.
But like, how much of a stick it to the North Koreans would it have been if they had just given it to everyone with an iTunes
This
account?
Is almost off topic, but you heard about that bad bike accident that Bono had?
No.
Where he... He was in New York. They were going to do the Tonight Show all week.
Okay.
And he had a fall. He was riding his bike through Central Park, and he had a fall on his bike, and he had a compound fracture arm, and they had to cancel, like, the first shows ever.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm wondering if that was an angry Apple fan.
It was like that.
There's no video of it. Just took a stick in his spokes.
Yeah.
I don't like Songs of Innocence.
And the other reason, I mean, we know the whole thing. Sony pulls the movie because the theaters won't show it. At that point, if you can't get the big chains to distribute it, you know what you do? You shut the whole thing down, and of course, Sony can claim it as a total loss, and the movie's insured.
Right.
So they make their money that way.
Whereas if they put it on demand, they're not going to they might not make as much money.
Yeah. They can't claim the insurance.
But I think at this point...
Right, because on demand is for indie movies and second run.
Right.
I will relate to this in my little kingdom of the world, Chimera's Comics. I received a copy of Amazing Fantasy number 15, right? First appearance of Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And I could have just told that guy, eh, this ain't worth nothing, and paid him $2 and then sold it for like $9,000 on my own and not even told Carmelo about this. I could have done this. Didn't occur to me, but I could have done this.
How often has it occurred to you since?
A lot. I have a lot of problems. Not many problems I have that $9,000 wouldn't solve right now. So that's all right. So I could have made myself a buttload of money, but we did the honest thing. We told that dude what that book was worth. We sold it on consignment. He got $6,000 for it. We made $3,000 off it. We sold it. And, the press we got, the good press from that, has been unbelievable.
You were written up in Comic Book Resources.
We were written up in Comic Book Resources all over the place.
Should have had a podcast then.
We should have had a podcast, and that would have been a good time for it. Basically, the point I'm making is, you know, Sony's trying to, like you said, they're trying to collect the insurance money and just break even on this deal when they can make such awesome headlines if they're like, fuck North Korea, here's the movie for free, yep. Everyone digital downloaded on Sony's website. Then you said they can't go bomb theaters, or they're going to bomb every home in America. It's like, we're talking about North Korea here.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, they're like the goofy little, like, dirtbag of the international community. You know what I mean? It's like, no one likes to play ball with those guys.
Right, which is why it's so easy to make fun of them. I read an article that said, it was a Sony executive that decided to make it North Korea.
Yeah, they could have made up a country.
Yeah, like, Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg were like, we're going to try to assassinate somebody. And they're like, ooh, North Korea.
Yeah.
And, you know, Team America World Police did it 10 years ago.
Yeah, didn't they say that they were going to show that movie instead, and now they backed out of that?
Paramount said that they weren't going to allow screenings of Team America World Police, which featured Kim Jong-il.
Right,
Kim Jong-un, who's the father. And that led to George Clooney having an interview with Deadline.com about the whole chilling effect that that sort of thing had. So, I mean, it basically came down to this. The theaters and the movie studios were afraid, as you were saying after the whole, you guys were saying about the whole The Dark Knight Rises incident.
Yeah.
If one thing happens at any of these theaters, a lawyer's going to jump all over it, mm-hmm. and they're going to say, you guys knew this stuff would happen, you intentionally put people in danger, and now you're going to be liable for it. And let's face it, America is the home of the frivolous lawsuit.
Yep. Yeah.
So they just didn't, you know, at that point, this is when the movie theaters...
They don't want to take the risk.
They don't want to take the risk. And yeah. again, playing the advocate.
Not the public health risk.
Right.
Yeah.
The legal but risk.
The legal
and
risk.
It's insane, too, because if you're buying a ticket to go see a movie that you've heard in the... You can't... My roommate, who doesn't pay attention to anything on the internet or whatever, she's heard of all this Sony crap. And she's just like, yeah, I heard they pulled that movie. And it's just like, yeah, because they're scared of, like, people being terrorists. Like you said, copycat terrorists doing this, like, Dark Knight shit. And it's just like, but it's crazy. If I buy a ticket, that is my decision. I decided to go see that movie. I paid money for it. Like, that should be this, that it should let the movie theater off the hook for some lunatic coming in there with a machine gun and blowing a bunch of people away. It'd be one thing if, like, you, what you really sue the movie theater for is getting, like, bad cholesterol because you're eating that garbage they pass off as popcorn.
And butter,
yeah. You know.
I don't know what that stuff's fluorescent.
Yeah.
Well, it's to help you find your way to your seat. Like, if, when the lights go down, it gives you a little
shine
bit of
light.
Shine it around. Right. But, again, you know, I can see why the movie studios reacted the way they did. I can see why people are angry about it. There are so many different levels to this. In the end, it was a stupid Seth Rogen, James Franco movie
right. yeah.
that people probably weren't going to see that would have gotten panned.
Yep. Right.
You know.
Yeah, because how much anticipation was there
none,
for the movie?
None. I didn't even know when it was coming out. I saw the one trailer for it, and I said, oh, that looks funny. And then I forgot about it immediately right. afterwards.
I saw This Is the End, and I was like, I think I'm done with Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
On the other hand, what precedent does this set if now suddenly hackers and other world governments are seeing movies that are being released that they don't agree with? Mm-hmm. Can they threaten studios into stopping them, to stop distributing them? And just kind of like, let's say one was a comedy, but what if one is a documentary about right. atrocities?
And that's why Clooney's so outspoken.
Right.
Because he's done these such documentaries.
Right, and I saw, I didn't read the entire interview that you did, Elliot, but I did see he said, look, I'm at the age where they're not giving me romantic comedies or action movies anymore. The kind of movies I make are political.
Right.
Yeah. Well, like Rosewater just came out. Jon Stewart released Rosewater.
Right.
What if Iranian? It was taking place in Iran, I think, right? I didn't see it. Rosewater? You guys know?
I think so.
Somewhere in the Middle East. Yeah. Some poor guy got captured and basically tortured and in prison wrongfully kind of thing. And if that country decided, hey, get all our hacker nerds together and go hack that thing and whatever, and then threaten them, we're not going to get movies released. They released that movie when George Bush was in office. Of what if George Bush got assassinated? Remember right. that? They did that yeah. like kind of like mockumentary or whatever they kind of call it. And it's like, that happened. It's just like you said, it set
yeah,
a
and
dangerous
you know,
precedent.
What was to stop the Tea Party from stopping the Josh Brolin, Oliver Stone, George
right.
Bush movie?
Exactly. You know? And it's just like you said, it sets, I think even the president said it. He's when he said, you know, he did a little speech on it or whatever, comment on it. He's just like, look, they should have, Sony should have talked to me about this. Like, they're setting a dangerous precedent by saying another country has the right or ability to infringe on quote-unquote freedom of speech or what do you want to call it. You know, it's like, it is kind of crazy. And this is kind of, like, becoming more and more, like, these hacker problems. Like, that Snowden guy who's got to live in, like, Europe now because he did all those files that, what do we call it, the celebrity leak, where they leaked all those naked pictures of all those celebrities.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
I mean,
that wasn't Snowden.
Like,
that was somebody else.
No, but I'm saying it's different. I'm saying it's different.
He's in Russia. He's yeah, alone. He's yeah. bored. Hey, look, Winona Ryder topless. Everyone should see this.
I'm saying this is like, there's like, we're getting into an
WikiLeaks,
age where there's leaks
yeah.
and constantly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the anonymous guys were going to release the identity of that Ferguson cop if the police department didn't release the name there. So
right.
we've got that
yep.
guy's name. You have 42 hours or whatever to release that dude's name. So it's like we're living in an age where these guys can't hide behind, you know, these emails and stuff. Like all these corporations, they were saying, oh, don't cast Denzel Washington in any more major movies because black stars can't carry movies overseas. There was like some email that came out. So it's like all this like racial shit's coming
yep.
out. Like it's like all these like dirty executives are saying all this nasty shit about people that's getting out, and then, like, it's crazy.
Yeah, well, are we living in an age where there's no such thing as a secret?
I think there is. It's just, like, the secrets are going to be the shit that you're not putting out in, like, cyberspace. There are no more digital secrets. If you have any belief that your emails are safe or your cloud photos or whatever is safe, forget about it. The only shit that's safe is, like, analog. It is no longer on the internet. If it's on the internet, everyone has access to it.
As I say, we're past that age now. You're right. If it's in the internet, no, because before today, before the internet age had arrived, the only way you could keep a secret safe between two people was if one of them was dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can't kill the internet. So,
right, yeah. And that's the
people have tried.
You know, they said, whatchamacallit?
That's what net neutrality is. Let's kill the internet.
Entire internet. But that's the thing. You know, it's like, Scarlett Johansson did it. The FBI jumped on, somebody hacked her phone and released, like, naked pictures she had. And then the FBI jumped on that, and they have to get involved now. Now they're getting involved this, like, Sony leak, and it's just like, yeah. Well, but it's not like that stuff's going to be gone. That stuff's not gone. Like, yeah,
it's
out
being
there.
Copied over and over
again.
Yeah,
the internet.
Why are so many people taking naked pictures of themselves on their phone? Do you guys take naked pictures of yourselves on your phone?
No, here's the thing. I think with the...
I have so many naked pics of myself
so
on my
many.
Phone.
I know some friends
but
of mine.
But they're all prints. Blow them up to poster size.
Right, pretty yeah. much. I got this 20 megapixel phone.
And you got to put something in it, John.
And I need a panoramic view. You know what I mean?
me and my sad life around me.
I think with the naked pictures, I can kind of understand it. Some of my friends are doing the naked picture things, whatever. But what I think is strange is, that they're, you know, they should be able to do whatever you want. It's your phone, your property, blah, blah, blah. When you put that shit on the internet, though, it's like...
Well, the cloud, these companies push cloud storage for you and saying that it's supposed to be safe.
Yeah.
But it's not.
And I mean, maybe I have, like, a healthy skepticism and fear of the internet, so I'm like... Well, you can't trust it,
it's
so
Skynet,
it doesn't
man.
Matter.
It will become Skynet. Skynet.
And I never trusted the cloud because, to me, it's a data bank. It's like I was keeping all my money in my wallet, and now they're going, nah, don't keep your money in the wallet. Put it in the bank. And you know what? Sometimes the bank's not open.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the bank's overdrawn. Sometimes the bank charges me fees.
Yeah, and the ATM doesn't let me take out, like, more than $400 at a time.
Right.
That's bullshit. It's my money.
What annoys me about the cloud... Do you have more than that?
No, I do on payday, which is today, but I have rent, and I can't take out my rent because fucking the ATM at Chase won't let me take out more money than I want. It's mine.
Checking account, you know?
Yeah, well, that's what it is.
But, the thing that really annoys me about the cloud is that once they started pushing the cloud, they stopped putting storage in your phone and then in your computer and in your laptop. Yeah. Like, we were going 1 terabyte, 2 terabytes. Right. Like, we should... There are 4 terabyte externals out there, but we should be up to 12 by now. But it's just like, there's not much money in putting another solid state drive in your phone. Just give it to us. And you know what? Pay us every month to use it.
Yeah,
it's crazy. But yeah, so, you know, like I said, people should be able to do whatever they want. You know, no one has any right to go steal that information, but it's like you said, it's a bank in the sky in an imaginary world. So people are going to figure out how to get into it. You know, people rob banks. They've been robbing banks since they invented banks. They've been robbing. They're going to rob these digital banks, too.
Well, Batman said no security is absolute.
Yeah.
And then when he said a cat came in, filled with Joker venom, and bit a guy.
Right.
So.
It always comes back to Batman.
Everything does.
Everything does.
75 years of stories.
Right. There's so much material.
But it's true. Any fence has to be designed with a gate because it has to let one person through it.
Right.
Or else it's a wall.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think even there's just no such thing as absolute security. But it is interesting. Like I said, I think there's a mixture of good and bad. Obviously, some troll leaking, you know, naked pictures of all these, like, celebrities. That guy's a scumbag. But somebody leaking all these CIA files or whatever, like that Snowden dude, we kind of need whistleblower guys like that. Because if our, like, we just found out all these terrorist things.
Yeah, the torture report just came out.
It's like, what else are you guys doing that you're not telling us? Because you straight up lied to us for 10 years. I'm sure you've been lying to us longer than that. I mean, that Kennedy thing did not go down like whoever planned it. You know what I mean? It's just like, so we need people to blow the whistle on shit like this. But then when it gets to like the Sony stuff and then, Now it's like infringing on what kind of movies we're going to be making. Like Steve Carell had a movie in the work about North Korea.
Right, that's
gone. And all the producers dropped it. They're like, nope, we're not doing it. You know, it's, so it's crazy. And then like you said, who's going to do the next like big political movie post Sony leak and interview bullshit? And everyone's just going to be like, nah, we're not going
to
do it.
And that leads me to my biggest question is this real? Is this a First Amendment issue?
No.
Or is this a business issue?
Business.
Because this is a piece of content that Sony had that they're choosing not to sell.
The government is not telling anyone to not release the movie. The Korean government is
recommending that they are.
Yeah. So the people keep forgetting that freedom of speech means the government cannot infringe on the right of speech.
But like you said.
But the market can do whatever it wants.
Yeah, but media has always been owned by companies that had the right to do this or not do this.
Still not the government.
Right. The media is the one that 50 years ago said, no, we're not going to do a fourth season of Star Trek.
Yeah.
That's not a First Amendment issue.
Right. And then now, has the North Korean government released any kind of like official statement about this?
No, but they deny it's them, but they're like, all right, good for them. Yeah.
Yeah, whoever did that, good job.
I mean, whether it is a North Korean government or not, I guess that part's kind of irrelevant.
Yeah,
you know, because it's like the whole, again, back to Gamergate. You know, you have 90% of the Gamergaters can believe in ethics and journalism. Bullshit. but then 10% of them don't, and guess what? It poisons the whole thing. So, and then when you consider that North Korea is pretty much saying, "Hey, whatever these defenders of peace are doing is pretty cool by us." Now again, I do have to say,
and are they really defenders of peace if they're choosing not to attack
people? I think it's being ironic.
The mafia, it's like you paying the mafia protection money and going, I have a great insurance policy.
I'm protecting you from me.
But
I want to say I know this doesn't need this to be said, but just for my own conscience, we're talking about the North Korean government, not the North Korean people.
I'm sure
the North Korean people are wonderful people. And I bet you there are a lot of North Koreans who would love to see that movie, too.
There are a lot of North Korean people that would love to see any American movie.
They would love to see
articles today about how it's gotten more oppressive under Kim Jong-un than it was under Kim Jong-il.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can read anything about these guys, and you have to decide, who even knows how much material that's coming out of that country is even real because it's such a goofy state
They told their people they won the World Cup.
Oh yeah, well that's a thing. They have the best economy. So it's like those poor people, obviously, like you said, it's true. It's the accident of birth that they're stuck there, right? They weren't born in literally any other country on the planet. Probably would be a little bit better than North Korea. It's probably one of the worst places to live. That's really unfortunate. But like you said, it is the government. This is a lunatic regime that forbids people from having the same haircut.
That's apparently generational. Because when Kim Jong-il died, everybody was like, oh, good.
Right, and then this nut job, butterball face.
And who executed his own uncle.
Yes, because he didn't clap hard enough.
Yeah. And it's funny, if Kim Jong-un actually had a sense of humor about these things, can you imagine if he, instead of saying, you can't show this movie, say, you know what, I want to see this movie. We're going to debut it in North Korea. On top of that, I want James Franco and Seth Rogen to be in the theater with me. We're going to watch it together. And then
on either side of me.
And then on top of that, the whole time, he's laughing harder than anybody in the theater.
Yeah, that would be awesome and really would go a long way to push that dude's reputation.
People,
but James Franco and Seth Rogen are not going to go to North Korea.
But I know. I'm just... send Rodman.
Yeah.
There you go. Dennis Rodman. But that's...
Obama would. Because Obama has a sense of humor.
Yeah. But, if you'd made a movie about that sort of thing, lampooning Obama, you know Obama would be there. He'd watch it. He'd probably laugh at it. Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's this thing where...
Yeah, Obama's been said that when he met Key and Peele, he loved that they did the anger translator Luther. He said, I need Luther. I need him on my cabinet.
That's awesome.
He was on Colbert. He took over Colbert.
I saw that Colbert episode he did, and he was poking fun at himself. So it's like... You know, and like you said, it's
that great picture of him with the kid dressed up as Spider-Man.
Yeah.
That's my favorite picture of Obama.
Well, it's something where it's like, you know, it's a North Korea dude. He clearly doesn't have a sense of humor, you know, because if, you know, he's a lunatic, he's a crazy person. It's the reason they made this movie and why it's probably pretty damn funny because this is a real dude. So it's like anything they make up and add to it, it's like, well, he forbid everyone from having the same haircut as him or having the same name as him. So it's kind of crazy that... You know, this makes total sense.
Right.
And it doesn't shock me, but it just shocks me that the whole world's kind of like, fuck it, don't release the movie.
Well, and that's what bothers me about the modern world now is we have the internet, which is the, you know, the most important invention since television, I believe. And everything, as we were just saying, there's like no such thing as a digital secret anymore.
Yeah.
So we know everything, but it's not stopping any of this craziness from happening.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess it's also just he's making us aware of.
But I think about all these movies I and TV shows I used to watch in the 70s and 80s where, like, the villain would be doing something and the hero would go, I'll go to the press with this. And the villain would be like, oh, no.
Right.
And now you realize you go to the press with this. It doesn't stop anything. It
well,
just
I think
keeps...
the press isn't what the press used to be. You know, there used to be a, what you call it? They used to have a lot of. Ethics, press ethics and stuff, where it's like, Fox used to report, back in the day, I assume, before...
What are you, a Gamergator too?
No, I'm just saying, at some point, the news was actually doing news.
Steven likes women, we know this.
And then this 24-hour news cycle shit started, and now Fox is being like, America is awesome, and did you see the clip of that lady on the news? She kept saying how awesome
America is. Oh, the Fox News lady?
And we shouldn't talk about this... thing where we're torturing people, and it's like, that's what the news is now. To get real news, you have to go to like BBC or something. Like, there is no non-slanted American news anymore.
Okay,
exist.
So let me ask you this. Okay, since, you know, you bring that up, and it's a valid point.
Right.
I'm telling you right now that is an incredibly valid point, and I agree with you 100%. But 60 Minutes does a 12-part expose on the effects of thalidomide in school lunches and how it's caused deformities in children in Pennsylvania. You're going to watch it?
No. You know why? Because that shit doesn't need to be 12 parts. It needs to be 12 minutes.
But see, right? But no, you want to really get into the whole investigative journalism, explaining how it happened, why it happened, how it went on for as long as it did.
I think some people will watch that shit.
But there you go. And when it comes to, again, these companies, now news are corporations.
Yeah.
They have that bit. I mean, that's the bit with the newsroom, that it's ironic that so many news people I know hate the newsroom. But when it comes to that you have to, not only can you give the news, but you have to sell the news, and right. People have to buy the news. Yeah. And if they don't want to watch it because it's depressing and they don't care, you know, and they go like, you know what, the world is bad enough as it is, I don't need to hear about that. Then what do they want to see? They want to see Jennifer Lawrence's, you know, nude selfies.
Yeah, or how much he made on American Hustle.
Yeah, and stuff like that, which is, and now don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that to justify it.
Right.
I'm saying that as that is an unfortunate reality of media.
From their point, this is what they're doing and how they're seeing
it. Well, when I was growing up, everyone had the news on at 6 o'clock. 6 and 11, everyone had it, and you just picked the anchor you liked, you know, you watched NBC or you watched ABC or CBS because you liked Tom Brokaw, you know, the most. But everybody had it. I remember being a kid and being really annoyed because there was nothing on but news between 6 and 7.
Yeah.
Like, if we weren't eating dinner, if we weren't doing anything, and this was before VCRs even, it was like, you couldn't watch TV.
Yeah.
And it was a public service. It was a way for the networks to give back to the government for the privilege of using their airwaves. Because when everything was broadcast, it went through the air. It was American air. So to have the right to do that, they had to do news for an hour. Then once the 24-hour news cycle started, then it became more about, well, I have to get better ratings than the other guys on the 24-hour news.
And fill 24 hours.
Right. And get people to watch. And it became more about the sponsors.
Yeah.
Just like any other show.
Well, then that's, again, back to the consumerism of it. I mean, everyone was saying that CNN was the greatest thing in the world because you now had 24-hour news where you could actually really now go into depth into the stories that people need to hear, right? Yeah. You know, remember back in the day they talked about how great multiplexes would be? Because if you had multiplexes, you could use one screen to show the big blockbuster, but then you can get all those other screens to show the independent movies that couldn't get released. Did that really happen?
No, they show the blockbuster in seven screens.
Right. So that was the idea, but then again, the consumerism took over. They're saying, well, we're not making money doing this. I'm astounded that we do realize that the internet was created by the government, and now we have companies that want to say, we know you built it and all, but we really should be in charge of who gets the best, you know, net neutrality.
Net neutrality, yeah.
You know, and then that I have to actually pay more from through my cable company for stuff that I get for free over the air. Yeah.
Right.
You know, and you know, this I'm going off on a tangent here, but the whole thing where CBS and DirecTV are having a falling out. So mm-hmm. they've been doing this whole thing about, well, you know, they're advertising on the radio. Tell DirecTV you could lose. Right. Football.
And I remember
CBS,
Dish did that with AMC.
And I'm there going, you know, what is going on here?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that really offends me whenever I see that, because they make it sound like your parents are getting divorced.
Yeah, that's a good way of saying it. Yeah,
and somehow it's your fault. Right. Where they're like, you know, you're gonna you're not gonna see the last Letterman.
Yep.
Because DirecTV spending all your money drinking. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? I'm just doing my homework.
Right.
You're gonna tell your mom that you're really upset with her. And then tell her to come back to me because I love her.
Because I remember, I think it was DirecTV or Dish that my parents had.
Yeah.
And I was talking to my dad about Mad Men because he loves Mad Men. Hates Walking Dead and can't seem to get him to finish Breaking Bad. But that's kind of his AMC world. But he loves Mad Men. And then we were talking one time. He's like, no, I haven't seen the season. I'm like, oh, really? It was really good. Did you stop watching? He goes, no, we don't have AMC anymore. I was like, oh, right.
Yeah.
And it's just this overwhelming feeling. And I think this also goes into income inequality, is that we're just kind of pawns in between big companies that are just attacking other big companies to seem bigger than the other big company.
Yeah.
Nothing is about customer service. Nothing is about popularity of product anymore.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of bringing it back to like the hacker end of this is kind of why I think stuff like this is kind of important, where it's just like, all right, in this instance, it's a group of probably angry nerds in North Korea being like, fuck that movie.
Or just trying to make themselves cool.
Right.
Yeah, I personally think it's mercenaries that North Korea hired and be like, okay, you're a bunch of hackers, you know how to do this.
Yeah.
And we have deniability.
Right. Yeah.
Here's a pile of money. They're probably offshore in the Caribbean where all the poker sites are.
Right.
And why should the Russian mafia hackers get all the glory?
Yeah.
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 But that's what I think. It's something where it's just like, at least now there's a way somebody can strike at some of these companies, you know, and be like, all right, you know, here's a bunch of files from the CIA about torture, whatever you want to call it, and whoever did what. You know, there's people out there blowing the whistle on stuff like this, where it's just like, it's another avenue for the common person, quote unquote, to attack these like corporations where we have no say in what happens. Net neutrality is going to either happen or not. And the people in this room and the people, the everyday man on the street, is going to have no say in that. It's going to come up to the governments and the corporations and all this other shit.
Right. But our only say now is the internet. Our only say.
Right. Exactly.
Right here. I mean, if net neutrality doesn't happen a year from now, we might not be able to record a podcast like
right.
this.
Right, and it's not just us. It's everybody who's doing a podcast might have
everybody
trouble.
Who runs a blog, everyone who tweets.
Yeah.
Well, they'll and be able to run it. They just won't get heard.
Right. They won't get heard, and they'll pay through the nose to not
It'll
get heard.
It'll be like radio. You can start a radio station in your house.
Yeah.
But you're not going to have the broadcast bandwidth.
Yeah, outside of your own block or anything
right.
like that.
Right. You know? Yeah, so it's like you and, you know, Joe Packovitz down the street can listen to this podcast.
Right.
And me at
Which
the
sometimes it feels like that's what it is. Is.
Which, we really notice a difference. But, you know, like I said, I think it's something where it is kind of like we're veering towards this thing and we're either going to go left and things will continue to be semi-awesome, or it's going to go right and they're really, really going to fuck the world, you know?
Right.
Because how do you break that, right? Like, China can just shut off the internet.
And isn't it the fact that we have this is what separates us from North Korea? And now we're letting North Korea
dictate.
Tell us what to do.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's not bad enough that they're censoring their own people to the point where they think they won the World Cup this year.
Right.
Versus us, now it's like, oh, we can't even see this movie because the North Korean government, you know, threw a little hissy fit about it. This is not the first movie that showed an assassination of somebody. Now, no one's going to get up in arms about Inglourious Basterds where they machine gun fire Hitler in the face because he's Hitler. But right. It's like, had that been...
Germany doesn't have a problem
supporting Hitler anymore. I don't think, except super white racist people.
Well, yeah, in America.
In America. And, you know, the six Nazis left in Brazil, you know, living in the jungles.
I think they have some regrets. Maybe.
The jungles have not been kind.
It's so hot. It's global warming.
I mean, we do acknowledge, though, it's not North Korea that's making us do anything. It's we're doing it to ourselves,
yes.
Right?
But we're buckling to this goofy pressure from, and like you said, you can understand when you think, all right, well, look, North Korea and Japan, very close to each other. Maybe they can get a missile over there if 100 North Koreans go, huh, really hard. But
it's like, or a lone wolf can, you know, be
exactly.
Over there,
or
like
you run
that.
Into,
that I can,
you know,
see, yeah.
Terrorists obviously is always going to kind of be a threat post 9/11 or what do you want to call it. But I do think it is something where it's just like, it's kind of goofy. But this is like the fucking world we live in now. It's
right,
crazy.
When I think post 9/11, which they mentioned in the email of like,
yeah, they said,
well, then
you'd
that was like, and that was so pushing our button.
A 9/11,
yeah, they were so pushing
so
our
deliberate
button,
and
yeah.
It was ham fisted. And I'm like, as I read it, I was like, well, this has got to be a translation error because it's so clunky. It reminds me of I have a good friend that works for Nintendo, and his job is taking the Japanese translations when a game is finished in Japan and rewriting them in English so it makes sense.
Oh,
and when I read that email, I'm like, this is probably what he gets every day.
Right, yeah, yes, gotta fix that.
Right.
Yeah, but it was so emphasis. But we live in a world where we can make a whole country afraid of six guys.
Yeah, we're being big. I'm sorry, we're being big pussies here.
Yeah, we're completely.
I mean, if there is a bombing in Tel Aviv, if a bomber walks into a cafe in Tel Aviv in the morning. That same afternoon, that same cafe is open again.
Yeah.
That happens here in Chicago. We shut down the entire downtown area for a week.
Yeah, right. It's true. And, you know, it is something where, you know, obviously 9/11, we got hit probably harder than a lot of people have been hit. But
okay, no.
There's bombing and train. No, no,
Hiroshima,
I'm saying.
Nagasaki.
No, right. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking, you know, we see that, and that was televised so all over the place, and we needed to see what was going on there. What I'm saying, though, I think is train stations, all these other places get bombed daily, daily in the Middle East,
right.
And it's just like
the
you
England.
Know,
they dealt with the IRA there.
Right.
That sort of thing was happening.
So I think with 9/11, it was more the location than anything else.
Yeah, and I think it was the scale of it. Like an airplane into a building is a very
into a national landmark.
Right, is kind of crazy. And obviously something only lunatics can think of. But like you said, suicide bombings happen every day throughout the world.
The lone gunman talked about flying a plane into the World Trade Center. Like,
that's right. So, that's on the DVD set.
So if you talk about lunatics, then they had some lunatics in that writer's room.
Yeah. Yes. One of them was Vince Gilligan.
Vince Gilligan.
Who then went, I'm going to make meth in a trailer. Vince Gilligan would be very dangerous if he wasn't getting paid to write television.
Right? Incredible. But that's what I'm saying. Like, you're right. It is something where it's just like there's other countries in the world that are living with terrorism
all the
daily,
time.
Bombings
they
daily.
It. They deal
and,
with it.
You know,
I'm not saying it's right. I'm
no,
not saying,
it's not. No.
I'm not saying we should encourage it. I'm not saying we should tolerate it.
But they're letting it affect their lives less than America
is. And nothing happens here.
Right. You know,
I mean, and
nothing's happened since.
Well, okay, there have been several school shootings, and no one ever calls those terrorist attacks, which is funny, but
it's technically would
Yeah,
be.
But we,
it's
yeah, we've had like 30 school shootings.
Yeah, and we're not changing anything there.
No, we're not changing the gun laws.
Yeah, so, I'm sorry.
Yeah, what happened to what was that thing they said after 9/11? These colors don't run.
Oh, they're running.
Right, they are running.
They're running and hiding.
Because they're made out of Asian fabric.
Yeah.
They're running in the rain.
But it's crazy.
You're un-American.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be the one part of this podcast that's going to go viral. They're going to be pulling out how you guys... I'm separating myself now.
Right,
you guys are un-American.
See you coming down the road.
I'm the one who endorses terrorism because it happens in Tel Aviv.
Right.
You guys are the ones that say America's scared. Hannity is going to be all over your asses.
Yeah, the problem is you just reiterated it all in the perfect soundbite. Right. They'd have to edit through the whole episode to get all the points that you just mentioned.
Oh, crap. Right.
What have I done?
The greatest thing in the world.
This week.
All right, so I reread. I have probably read it in like high school, so like long time ago. And Dark Phoenix Saga. I got the omnibus. I just cracked it open. The second.
Do you have
volume.
The Dark Phoenix hardcover or the second?
It's the second X-Men omnibus. Uncanny X-Men omnibus, and it has Dark Phoenix Saga. And I'm about to get to Days of Future Past, which I haven't probably also read since high school. And it's a better X-Men movie than you will ever see. It's if they could really figure out a way to break those five or six issues down into three movies, which wouldn't be that hard, it would blow people's minds. The whatever you got out of X-Men 3 for Phoenix, forget it. Forget the any X-Men movie you've seen, because they did such a good job with this. And Unfortunately, it'll never probably get made until the studios figure out that Cyclops can be just as interesting a character as Wolverine if they could only...
It's my biggest problem with the whole X-Men franchise. Cyclops is my favorite character.
It just gets brushed to the side.
Yes, and you know what? He's not even done that well in the comics now. Even Grant Morrison
didn't write a good
Cyclops.
The last time I really thought they nailed Cyclops was Joss Whedon did Astonishing X-Men. I think he did a good job of like capturing that character.
Yeah, but the movies is like as good as James Marsden is.
Yeah.
It's like they didn't
there's nothing
much
for him
to do
yeah. though. Yeah.
They get more to do on 30 Rock.
Yeah, oh, he's great on 30 Rock. But that's the thing is, like I said, it's a little unfortunate. But, you know, you always have the comics. And like I said, if you haven't read it, I would definitely highly recommend checking it out. I don't know that X-Men comics have ever been better than those 5 or 6 issues. They were phenomenal.
Yeah, that whole John Byrne run is just...
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah, it's the reason there is an X-Men franchise.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking... This is the reason when everyone went goo-goo banana balls for Wolverine was because of this couple issues where, like, the whole X-Men get taken down like it's nothing, and then Wolverine, like, claws his way out of a sewer and just tears through this mansion full of guards and soldiers and superpowered mutants and cyborgs like it's nothing. And it was just like...
Yeah, and that...
It's awesome.
Yeah, and that's, like, when Punisher was, like, a D-list character nobody knew about, so there was no other character
there
doing
that. There
wasn't
anyone doing that, and they really nailed it. And this is a point, you know, everyone forgets, you know, because they're always like, I actually really like this version of Wolverine better, because now it's Wolverine, everyone knows he's completely unkillable, so there's no risk.
Except
so,
now he's dead.
Well, now he's dead. But it's so long, they amp that healing factor up to where he could just tear through a room full of 30 guys with guns, no problem. This is the Wolverine who, like, we didn't know much about him, we barely knew that the claws came out of his hands, we didn't even know what his name was, Logan hadn't showed up for, like, another 4 or 5
issues.
Yeah,
for a while, even Marvel thought that the gloves had the claws
right.
in them, and that they were just weapons.
And this was just, like, perfect, so it's really cool to kind of see, and you know what, he wasn't on the team because he's, like, some... samurai badass hero. He was on the team so the X-Men keep an eye on him. He was a fucking lunatic who would just butcher anybody who got in his way, and the X-Men had him on a team of like, well, if we don't put him on our team, Magneto might put him on his team, and then he'll kill us all. So
Magneto can throw him really, really
right.
far.
So let's put him on our team so we can keep an eye on this lunatic.
Yeah, those are incredible. I have all the X-Men honors. I just got the Inferno Prologue, which is issues that I don't even care about, but I realize they've been so good about the X-Men omnibuses, you never have to buy a back issue
there's
ever.
There's no break, yeah.
There's like there's no break. I have from, right behind you, Elliot, I have from like Kirby, I think I have like from Kirby to like Onslaught, and there's very, very few breaks.
Yeah, you're missing maybe a dozen issues.
Maybe.
Spread
and
out.
And they'll probably do that as an omnibus.
Yeah, it's wild. Elliot?
I was going to say, I stopped reading X-Men shortly after Paul Smith left the book. It broke my heart when he left that book.
The first John Romita Jr. run was really nice.
Oh, no,
that's when I started.
I'm lying. You're right. John Romita, when John Romita was on, that kept me on.
That's
so.
Where I started, right around Secret Wars. But those Paul Smith issues are gorgeous. I think they're doing a third X-Men omnibus that's going to have all the Paul Smith issues.
That would be. I've seen some of that stuff. Looks great. And especially when they did that Wolverine Japan story right after the Frank Miller story, and Paul Smith was able to make his style on the book really mirror a lot of what Frank Miller was doing on that book. I was like, wow.
Yeah, and Claremont was able to balance it. It was as the sequel to the limited series, but he had just introduced Rogue,
right.
And it was like a story about integrating her into the team, and it was like, have you ever read the Paul Smith issues?
I don't think so.
They're gorgeous.
They're
There's that one cover of Wolverine and Rogue running towards the camera. And it's like the two of them are teamed up.
Yeah.
And he doesn't trust her at all. Because
she
is
a brotherhood.
Right. And she had just, like, very recently sucked all the powers out of...
Carol Danvers.
Yeah, Ms. Marvel.
Who
they had established was, like, friends with Wolverine.
Right. Yeah.
And the two of them have to, like...
Team up.
Work together in Tokyo.
That's awesome.
They're gorgeous. And he ends the Brood Saga, which I was not interested in when Cochran was drawing it. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, Paul Smith did really knock that out.
Yeah, the first back issue I ever bought was at a flea market. And I think it's 167. It's the one where Cyclops is holding Professor X's body.
Oh, yeah.
Where Professor X turns into a brood and attacks the new mutants. Yeah. And then the X-Men come back from space and that. That's when the X-Men were so good, before they were horribly complicated.
Yeah, and that's the thing, though. I can't point to anything... X-Men and make sense of it from like Heroes Reborn afterwards. Like you have new X-Men, Astonishing X-Men, and then it goes right off the rails.
Right. Yeah, and X-Men the last 15 years or so, I picked a guy I liked and I read his book and that was it.
That's it.
When Grant was writing new X-Men, I got those, and I didn't even buy the monthlies. I got the hardcovers that I still have. And then he ended, and then Joss Whedon did Astonishing, and I read his, and that's it. And I have not read X-Men since Joss Whedon left.
Yeah.
I was reading some of the Warren Ellis stuff that he did. He was pretty good. I thought he had a good handle on Cyclops.
I love Warren Ellis. I mean, Extremis is one of my one of my favorite Iron Man stories. The Planetary is incredible.
Yeah.
But I never I never clicked into his X-Men.
I want that Planetary Omnibus.
I have it.
It's awesome.
That book was so good. We had a guest one week that was like 2-3 hours late. And I was just kind of sitting here waiting for him, and I'm like, open the Omnibus, and I finished it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, I couldn't stop reading that book.
It's not just that the whole story was perfect. It was every individual issue on its own was like a little movie that built into this huge movie. And it's like they kept the same creative team for
Cassidy does the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. Laura Martin got married during the run and like changed her name. And like she did the coloring to the whole thing, the same letter. Warren Ellis wrote every issue. It's like... And, you know, there were years in between issues. There were like 2 or 3 years in between some of those issues.
But when you read the Omnibus, you can't tell.
No, it's like they were just waiting for everyone's schedule to free up.
Yeah.
Is it Jerry Ordway, JLA, in the Omnibus or not?
Yeah, I think it's every... Yes, it is. That's the only guest artist.
The only one he didn't do, right?
But it's every... Yeah, it's every Warren Ellis Planetary story.
Right,
and the Batman crossover is amazing where Cassidy draws every style of Batman.
Yeah. And he nails it because he does Miller, he does Neil Adams, he does Adam West, and it's just like... He just nailed every single one of them.
Well, Stephen, how are you feeling about Cassidy drawing Star Wars, which you're saying...
I'm really excited. Yeah. I guess they said that book...
Elliot is visibly excited.
Oh, yeah, I saw some of the preview artwork. Oh, my God. Awesome. Han Solo looks like Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's so hard to do. I have many Indiana Jones and Han Solo figures that look nothing like Harrison Ford.
I think he's a hard likeness to get.
Yeah.
But it looks great, and they said the initial orders ran over 1 million copies of number one have been ordered.
That's like Todd McFarlane's Spider-Man numbers.
Huge.
Yeah. But there are also like 50 different variants from what I
know. Yeah, there's a lot of variants.
Because I was going to ask what's inflating those numbers, because as excited as Marvel is to get Star Wars back and to put their top talent on it, and I'm kind of excited to get the omnibuses because they're going to do the whole original Marvel run in 2 omnibuses.
Yeah.
Yeah, that are recolored. Have you seen some of the
recoloring? No, there's going to be 2 versions. I asked about that.
Oh, okay.
There's one. They're going to do the movies recolored with computer colors, which I actually kind of liked.
I saw some of the pages.
The omnibuses that are going to have the full run are original colors.
Oh, okay.
That's awesome.
And Howard Chaykin.
Well, Dark Horse did that once already, so they're going to...
I liked when Dark Horse did the manga version in the late 90s. Do you remember those?
Those were pretty cool.
Now, they were really nice.
What happens to like the reprint rights to like all the stuff Dark Horse has been publishing for the last 15 years?
Marvel's doing it.
Yeah.
Marvel's got
like Dark Times.
Yeah, they've already solicited like Epic Collection styles of Dark Horse books.
Oh, all right, cool. Mm-hmm. So they got that with the
deal. And that's tended to happen because I remember IDW putting out like the Marvel G.I. Joe stuff in trade paperback. So I think when you get the license, you get the library.
Right. Yeah, because Marvel had all the G.I. Joe properties originally.
Okay. Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, Elliot, what was your greatest thing this week?
If you want to see a holiday movie that will warm your heart, that will make you believe again in Santa Claus, or at least in the highest ideals of the mall Santa, I recommend I Am Santa, starring Mick Foley.
Oh, I saw the interview.
I heard about
that. I got a screener of that a while back, and it's on Netflix now.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you, I didn't know what to expect. But the thing about if you get the DVD or the Blu-ray, I watch it on Blu-ray. I mean, or watch it on Netflix.
The disc is out now?
The disc is out, too. But if you watch it on Netflix, it's a documentary about real life, are they called real bearded Santas. These are Santas who do the whole, they make appearances at malls, parties, things like that. And they are men who, they look like Santa Claus. They grow their beards. They have the white beard and so on.
So they're Santa Claus 365 days a year.
Yes. Yeah. And then what they do is, and one of the things too that occurs is that Mick Foley himself, who really loves Santa Claus, wants to become Santa himself.
Yeah.
So he goes through this whole training thing on learning how to become a real Santa. So we follow 4 Santas through the documentary. One is one who lives quite nicely in California. He's, a born-again Christian and does quite well for himself.
Yeah.
One is a kind of a down on his luck, you know, living in his sister's basement. I mean, not sister, his daughter's basement, living on Medicare and Social Security.
Okay.
One lives in New York and really believes he wants to become Santa Claus and that he legally has his name changed to Santa.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And then one who I actually found to be the most charming of all the four Santas is the one when he's not Santa, he's going to bear conventions. You like, know what a bear convention
yeah.
is?
Yes. Yeah, bears live across the hall from me.
Pretty much. And he's actually the sweetest man you'll ever meet. His boyfriend lives in other states. He lives like in Texas, I forget. And then his boyfriend lives in Colorado and they hardly see each other.
Oh, wow.
But it's essentially these four Santas over the course of the year as they're waiting for the Christmas season to approach.
Yeah.
And it's really an eye-opening thing. I did not know there was a Santa community.
Yeah, that's why I remember reading the – he did an interview on either Colbert or Jon Stewart.
Stewart, yeah.
He was in Stewart. And I had the same thing. I had no idea that these guys are organized. It's like there's like groups and like –
groups. But now they're factions.
Do they have do they have gatherings? I don't want to say yes. Santa Con because that's something completely different.
Yes, yes,
it is no different. One is in favor
yeah.
of.
Yeah. No, but there are groups. There's AORBS, the Amalgamated Association of Real Bearded Santa, something like that.
Wow.
Then you have well, here's the thing. That brings me to the mini feature that's on the DVD or Blu-ray if you pick it up, which is you have, of course, I Am Santa, which talks about the four Santas and Mick Foley becoming Santa Claus. Then you have The Santa Wars, which is the mini feature on the disc where you see how the Santa community has these different factions and they've turned on each other and some have accused others of stealing money and you trying to use their prestige or you know their
position of power
as a bearded Santa for their own personal use. So you're going to be filled with goodness and love after watching I Am Santa.
Right.
And then the real world's going to crush that idealism when you watch the Santa Wars.
It's like the 501st Legion.
Pretty much.
I'm going to stay on Netflix, and I was on Twitter this week, and Paul Rubens tweeted that all of Pee-wee's Playhouse is now on Netflix.
Yeah.
So I put it on. I haven't seen it since the 80s, and both my boys are completely entranced by it. It reminds me a lot, like, and you could see the influences of things like Yo Gabba Gabba or the Aquabats.
Yeah.
Or Sesame Street in the 90s, I realized, like, Elmo's World was really a response to, like, what Pee-wee was doing with Connect the Dots and the Magic Screen. I also didn't realize that Phil Hartman was in the first season.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he comes on as Captain Carl, who he plays in the Showtime special. And because I had always heard that there was a big falling out between them.
Yeah.
Because Pee-wee's Playhouse started the year that Phil Hartman got on SNL.
Okay.
And Pee-wee expected him to turn down Saturday Night Live because he was going to make him like head writer and producer of Pee-wee's Playhouse. And Phil Hartman's like, no, it's Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, it's, I don't know much about like TV in the 80s, but I'm pretty sure Saturday Night Live was a pretty sweet game.
Yeah, it was. But man, Pee-wee's Playhouse was really big too.
But they didn't know at the time. I mean, they were putting together a pilot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's true. But I mean, it did turn into this huge thing. I mean, they didn't expect it to. But we're talking the moment that thing hit the air.
Yeah.
It was huge. Yeah. I mean that made. I mean, Paul Rubens really doesn't need to work, if he had managed.
No. And he's been doing like a comeback the last couple
because,
of years.
Right, because he turned into MC Hammer, and you know his money wasn't going where it should have been.
Right,
but, you know. But I mean, if you know the right thing again, bam, huge thing.
Yeah, and there's not a lot of episodes. I was looking through; it ran for 5 seasons.
Right.
And I believe I don't know if it's revisionist history, but I believe like his incident in the movie theater got it canceled. I don't think it was ending.
Yeah.
Well, it was near the end, and it was on the hiatus whole thing.
Okay.
It did keep it – it did kind of like sputter it out. I mean, it
right.
was if I remember correctly, because Pee-wee's Playhouse was coming out – near the end, it was coming out a little sporadically. I think it was kind of like one of those Aaron Sorkin deals where it's like the old, how long do we think we can really do this with the West Wing? And,
right.
you know, we're struggling creatively, and the stations, you know, the production companies are saying, come on, give us more, do this.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Paul Rubens gets caught in a theater, and
right.
then they're like, whoa! Yeah.
But, you know, like, I – I was looking at it. There's only 45 episodes of the entire series over 5 years. They would only do like 10 a year.
Yeah.
Which is now the current model. I mean,
right. But back then, yeah. I mean, it's a Saturday morning show. Yeah. I think they did like Pryor's Place did about half the amount of episodes. Yeah. And ran like one
kind of
year.
Crazy. 10 episodes a year for a Saturday yeah. morning.
And they just reran them all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was like, it was one of those shows where like if you saw a new one, it would kind of throw you because you were used to seeing. And we've gotten like we've watched at least 10 of them this week, and there's no story. There's nothing to hang it on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just it's activities that last about 2-3 minutes. So it's like the amount of ideas you have to pour into this show,
mm-hmm. yeah,
just to fill 20 minutes. And every time when it ends, I'm like, really, it's already over? Because there's no arc.
Yeah.
You know, there's no like, okay, we're getting to the end now.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, he's not resolving. Yeah, it's not like he has a problem with Terry and Cherry and he's got to resolve it.
Right.
You know, it's just, it's frenetic and it's very, very based on like the 50s, 60s, Howdy Doody kind of show that he grew up with. But I was amazed that there was, because it had that timeless quality, it had no trouble translating.
Wow. Yeah.
And, you know, I've had trouble with the kids watching, you know, the Adam West Batman.
Yeah. You said Ben can't even get into Star Wars.
Yeah, he doesn't even like Star Wars because it's a 70s type of movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Star Wars is kind of slow, though. The first one is kind
the
of
first
slow.
The first one is slow.
Yeah. I say if you're going to introduce your kids to Star Wars, start with Empire. Yeah. Then go from there.
But the problem is when you find out you have kids is that you cannot introduce them to Star Wars because they don't live in a universe where Star Wars is a secret.
Right. Yeah. So, what about Clone Wars?
Clone Wars was on. We've done Clone Wars. We've done Rebels. We've done bits of all six, but he's never sat through one to the end.
No, I get you.
And but he comes in. His friends have seen it. He knows every character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you don't have this thinking you do when you're single of like, one day I'm gonna sit my child down and turn off the lights and turn it on and it's gonna blow his mind. He's gonna go, oh yeah, Star Wars.
Yeah, he knows.
You know, it's too much in the public knowledge. Or like Batman. I mean, Batman, he's slowly pick things up. The other thing, or Indiana Jones, it's like, well, I'm gonna watch him.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm not, you know, I end up watching, I probably watch Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, and Indiana Jones every year.
Yeah.
So eventually, he just walks in the room when it's on.
Right. He's seen the posters or something, you know. He's aware of it, you know.
Right. But Pee-wee, we showed him Pee-wee's Big Adventure a few years ago, and he loved it. So with Pee-wee's Playhouse, he did not know there was a TV show.
Yeah.
He was like, what is this? I was like, Pee-wee Herman had a TV show, and he's like, put it on.
Yeah.
Awesome. And it's like 8 episodes later, and it works like it must work. And I'm a little old for it. I wasn't a kid like you were when it was on.
Yeah.
I was in high school and knew the movie, but it was great to see it work really well. And the baby was getting into it.
Yeah.
You know. So, yeah, it's out there. So it's definitely worth binge watching, no matter what age you are. Well, Ellie, thanks for coming back.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
It's always fun when you come over. We got to think of more topics for you to be here.
Well, I got to, you know, maybe more like stuff. Well, when the Korean hackers go after, you know, episode 7. I'm going to tell you, and that's going to be the thing. All these people, they'll bring it full circle. All these people who are complaining, oh, I don't want to go. I want to see a movie. I'm afraid of the terrorists. Watch. You're going to forget all that.
Yeah.
When it's a movie you really want to see.
We brought up Dark Knight Rises, and it did not hurt Dark Knight Rises
at all. No.
Didn't make as much money as Dark Knight, but you could also say because it's not as good.
Well, and then Heath Ledger didn't die during the production
of it. Yeah,
that's
a big part of it. Elliot, how can we find you online?
Always at on Twitter, at Elliot Serrano, 2 L's, 2 R's, 2 T's. 2 L's, 2 T's, 2 R's, duh. Same on Instagram, 2 L's, 2 T's, 2 R's. And you can also read my blog at geektome.net, where I have coming up an interview with Cary Elwes.
Oh, nice.
Where we talk about his book, As You Wish. Another great thing to give for the holiday. If you're looking for, if you have a Princess Bride fan, get them. He has all these recollections about making the movie. So told me some interesting stories as well as a little tip of the hat that the production crew from The Empire Strikes Back did to The Princess Bride.
Ooh, The Princess Bride is Renee's favorite movie.
It's one of my favorites,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I love that movie, too. Yeah, you can follow me at Not On My Book on Twitter. I had a great morning on Twitter. Got retweeted a bunch of times. If you retweet me, I'm usually just that funny. So please follow me.
All the time.
And that's the reason we don't have a Caffeinated Comics page, because we just put all the news through my handle. We do have a Caffeinated Comics Facebook page, And the last couple weeks, we began getting a lot of likes, a lot of repostings. If you like what we're doing, like the page. And give us a review on iTunes. It's been a little bit since we've seen an iTunes review.
And because, actually, Kim Jong-un doesn't want you listening to this podcast.
Well, not after this week.
No, he doesn't want you listening to it.
And Steven?
Always at 19 South LaGrange Road on Camaras Comics.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.
Take that, meatball!